It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas, at noon on this Monday, the 4th of November, 2024. Welcome to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. Coming to you live from Studio 31 at City National Arena in downtown Summerlin, Nevada. Dan Duva with Gary Lawless for this episode. Gary, the trees are turning colors. At the car wash this morning, I was told to keep warm. It is November hockey, and the Knights are in first place.
That's funny. I pulled into my driveway yesterday, and some folks that live in my neighborhood were all bundled up, and I said good morning to them, and they said, oh, it's chilly. And I kind of smirked and said, oh, this is heaven. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm Canadian. And they're like, oh, this, you're going to get a sunburn. So
sunburn.
They were ridiculous on both accounts. I hope they're not listening. But anyways.
It is 63 degrees in Las Vegas today. And it is now feeling a little bit like hockey weather. So the Knights coming off a victory. That was Saturday against the Utah Hockey Club. A 4-3 in overtime. Brett Howden had the overtime winner, had an assist and a goal. He is up to 6. Pavel Dorofeev potted his 7th, and Noah Hanifin had a 3-point game. And the Knights remain unbeaten on home ice, 8-0. And while they have yet to win a road game, they're going to have some opportunities to win on the road this week. We'll talk about that on the show. We also have a number of mailbag questions. Gary unleashed the X/Twitter feed today.
I am the Postmaster General.
Yeah.
I will sort and deliver.
So we will sort and filter through some of those questions.
Sure.
And address them here on the show today. We also we have to kind of do some cross-promotion here. We know we've got the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show coming up later today with Darren and Ryan, 4 to 6. We also are recording later today another episode of SLGND, and our guest will be Bruce Cassidy. So we're going to get to chat with the head coach about what has happened with his team a dozen games in.
Doesn't exactly feel like a day off, does it?
No, well, not for the broadcasters.
No, I had to sort and deliver mail. I had to write, and now I'm, well, being with you is never a chore. It's not work. Gosher arriving at 1 o'clock for SLGND, that makes it a little more work.
Yeah, I suppose. I feel like I said it yesterday at the VGK gala, which was fantastic. I want to ask you about that experience. A number of people who, you know, listen to us or watch us are very kind, and they love to talk hockey and everything. And I will often say to those folks, you know, it sure beats working for a living, because we have a heck of a lot of fun talking about this hockey team. And of course, about this hockey team winning.
I don't know if you saw. So two things. First, I'll do the gal thing first. Kim Frank is our VP of all things charity, and runs the foundation. And her colleagues, Mia and Allie, did a tremendous job. It's a really nice event. It's an opportunity to see a lot of people that buy tickets to Golden Knights games, sponsorship packages, et cetera, et cetera. They're the, you know, in many ways, the lifeblood of the organization. It's a great chance to see them. They raised $1 million or close to it, right around $1 million.
They're still counting.
Yes. Tip of the cap to Kim Frank and her crew for making sure we had a good time. But way more important than that, generating, you know, raising $1 million that they're now gonna put back into the community for those that are less fortunate. They do a lot of good work with that money, and I can't say enough about the efforts from the people that have the offices behind ours.
Were you bidding on some of the events or prizes?
No.
Really? Didn't have the paddle out?
I don't know. Get the paddle out on there.
What would you have bid on if you were so inclined?
Well, I would have a prize on there that would be an evening with the broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think they've done that in the past.
Yeah, but I think they should, you know, someone should come on the road with us and come out for
full bore.
Come out for dinner. So we'll take you a little bit behind the scenes. We land where we land, and the texts start, and then usually it results in us finding a place for a libation, and then we'll go somewhere and eat, and then we'll go back to the hotel lobby. And usually right around 9 o'clock, the broadcasters arrive, the coaches who have been somewhere else for their dinner, they also arrive, and then a variety, you know, Bruce will stick around because he just wants to talk hockey anytime he can get a chance to. So then we'll have a nightcap, and we'll talk hockey for a little while, yeah. And then we go off to our what does Gosher call it? I'm going to my quarters.
My quarters, yes. He says. Yeah, when yes. He's not at the Gosher Estates.
Yes.
And you never know who might show up. We've got friends in different cities, and of course the Knights have had two road trips. One was an actual trip with Washington, Florida, including Tampa and South Florida, and then you also had the one-game trip down to Los Angeles, which was a loss. But the Knights coming up, Gary, have Edmonton and Seattle coming up this week, and then come back home for that game against Carolina. But that'll be interesting, and we will talk about the Oilers a little bit more in depth. But a number of people have brought up this home versus road thing.
Was the other thing you were talking about before I said two things, and I mentioned the gala? Okay, we're going to have to...
The mailbag?
No. Justin will have to go over the tape during the break because there's something else.
Too
I
many
wanted,
threads. All
something
at once.
Else I wanted Side to bars. Talk about.
This is what happens, folks. Yeah. When the game is going on and Gary and I have to focus on the game, we cut our conversation short.
Yes.
But without the hockey happening, we just go off on tangents. And eventually someone will say, Dan, it's time for a commercial break. So we'll keep an eye on that. We will get to the mailbag. We will talk about the upcoming road trip. But it is something, you know, we interviewed Jack Eichel before the game the other day against Utah, and I asked Jack the very open-ended question, what's going well for the team and what's still a work in progress? And he said, well, home versus road, sort of jokingly, and I said, well, is there something to that? And I guess my comeback when people have brought that up, Gary, is the sample size is, at this juncture, so small. It's just four games.
So here's what I would say. The hardest thing to do in the National Hockey League is score. So... And there are teams that can score, but they can't defend. That's not the case with the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
The big question with the Golden Knights this year was, were they going to be able to score? Well, they can score. And
most goals in the league.
Yeah, they're doing an excellent job of that. And, you know, players have been given opportunity. You know, listen, when you saw the names that were leaving, in particular the forwards, Marchessault, Stephenson, Carrier and Amadio, it was fair to say, hey, well, who's gonna pick up that slack? Well, it turns out Mark Stone's a pretty good right winger, has done pretty well with Jack Eichel, and Pavel Dorofeev, who was, you know, on the verge of, like, he would have scored 20 last year if Jacob Trouba hadn't have elbowed him in the head. And you think about that, too. You know, you go back to that play, and Trouba just decided, you know, this is a young guy in the league, and he's not going to do anything to me, so I'm going to elbow him in the head. And he did. And Pav missed 14 games as a result of that elbow. Trouba missed two. I was writing about Pavel yesterday.
I was going to ask you about that. There are a number of numbers that jump out from the story that you wrote. One has to do with fantasy hockey.
Yeah.
The other has to do with goals at per 60.
Yeah.
At 5 versus 5, and last year he wasn't really on the power play. He's got 3 power play goals, but going back to the beginning of last year, 5th in goals per 60
at 5 versus 5. And then this year, 3rd goals per 60 with the man advantage.
Yeah, he's got 3 power play goals.
Yeah, he's one
out of
the most
10. And he wasn't on the power play the first 4 games.
He's on pace for 50, right? Or 47 or something like that, right? You know, will that hold? Part of me wants to say, hey, let's not, you know, put undue expectations on anybody. But the other part of me is, why not?
Yeah.
Like, really, why not? Like, this guy is, there's an argument to be made that he might be the best shooter on the team. And he's playing with a guy in Hurdle, you know, and Brett Howden. I think I used the expression I used in the column was, Howden will lug the easel into the studio, and then Hurdle and Dorofeev will put brush to paint. And the 2-1 goal the other night, it was 2-0 for Utah, and the puck thinks like it's going to get out of the zone, but Brett Howden, who's already backtracking to get back into the play, and because Hurdle is not as fast as Howden, Howden grabs some of that, and he's a center himself, he grabs some of those center duties defensively and is getting back to make sure that he can be in position in the defensive zone, stops the puck inside the blue line, whirls around, there's Hurdle, hits him, and then the pass from Hurdle over to Dorofeev, and then the actual goal, it's not an easy goal. The goalie is trying to get back into play. There's a defenseman who is sprawled out, so he's got to get it above the defenseman, but then the window between the post and where the goalie is going to be is shrinking as he's shooting, and he just, it's like a millimeter inside the post.
Yeah.
And it's got zip on it. It's a fantastic goal. So he has been given opportunity. If George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon could draft a player and he's the exact development line that they would like. Hey, sure, would it be nice to draft a Connor Bedard who would be, well, we say he's immediately NHL ready. It was like minus 44 last year or something like that, right? Dorofeev is a plus player. It plays well at both ends of the ice, and he gets the NHL ready. I've heard McPhee use the expression, I like to overcook them. And the best way I've heard it explained, and this is the one that I believe in, is the player should dominate. Dominate at the level he's at before he moves to the next one.
And we've seen it with different players over the years, different organizations who have come to the NHL too soon. There's those tweeners where, they're too good for junior. They've accomplished everything there. And, they're in the NHL maybe a little bit too soon. They probably should be in the American League, but the rules stipulate you've got to be either in junior or in the NHL. And it just never quite catches for those guys. Too much is put on them too soon. But the guys who are overcooked, the development process simmers a little bit longer so that when they do hit their stride, they're better prepared for it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you scored 50 goals in the Canadian Hockey League, mm-hmm. one season, what's wrong with scoring 60 or 65 the next?
Sure.
To me, this, he's done everything in junior. That's very rare. Like Mario Lemieux did everything that there was to do in junior. Be the player of the year in the country. Win the Memorial Cup. On and on and on. It's only a handful of guys that fit into that slot. And for those that are forget about the Canadian Hockey League. Well, most of the players in the NHL have played in the Canadian Hockey League than anywhere else.
And when you say Canadian Hockey League, we're talking the OHL, the QMJHL, and the WHL.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like saying all three leagues.
Well, for those who might not know that the CHL encompasses three major junior leagues.
Yeah, so let's be careful about throwing the Canadian Hockey League down the drain. We've got to protect it as well. And if you don't have good players in that league, no one's going to buy tickets to go to the games. No one's going to want to own the teams. And all of a sudden, there's no league. And that's not good for anybody.
No. One more part of that story that I liked, and I will fully admit, not a fantasy sports person.
Yeah, me neither.
I did like that the numbers in your story, if you went a week ago to the ESPN fantasy hockey roster and Pavel Dorofeev was on your roster, you were in the 1% who had Pavel Dorofeev. That was a week ago.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, when you checked out the numbers, 11.9%.
Look, let's be clear. I didn't check out the numbers. I don't know anything about that stuff. But
you have people for these things.
Yeah, Gordon Weigers, who's my editor and my co-author and my office mate and my good friend. I texted him and I said, hey, do you know anything about fantasy? And of course, my phone rang and we figured it out. So his stock is high, both on the ice and in in the realm of the make-believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, not something that we know much about. He is part, Gary, and I'm speaking of Dorfey, of a handful of players who are showing the signs of growth early in this season. And I want to get your thoughts on a few of them, and I want to make sure we're not missing any of them. We'll talk about that after the break. But Pavel Dorofeev, with his 7 goals, he has some critical goals in terms of when he has scored them, but also the impressive numbers. Who else is filling out this roster with above-expectation performance, historically speaking? We will talk about that and more. We've got your questions sent in to Gary via Twitter X, the mailbag from Gary Lawless, the insider, will be a part of our show here today as we take you through this Monday afternoon, November the 4th, game 13 coming up for the Knights. Later this week, it'll be in Edmonton on Wednesday. That's a 5:30 start Pacific time, and then in Seattle on Friday. Back here at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas on Monday, that is November 11th. On Veterans Day against the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's all straight ahead as we speak to you from City National Arena in Studio 31. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Studio 31 as Nighttime at Noon rolls on. It is 12:19. Glad you could join us. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. And let us tell you about what is really an exciting time for AFC Bournemouth, part of the Foley Entertainment Group. AFC Bournemouth is climbing the table in the English Premier League, where they take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries by catching their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or streaming on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal here at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. That's afcb.co.uk. And up the Cherries. And, Gary, what a historic win it was for the Cherries, beating Man City over the weekend. And that is, that is historic. They'd never beaten them. And you have to go basically 4 years since the last time that Man City had lost a game. So that is an epic victory for the Cherries. Congratulations to Bournemouth.
One of the news networks was doing a feature on voting in Milwaukee. And they went into a bar in Milwaukee, the oldest bar in Milwaukee, and some guy had a AFC Bournemouth shirt on. And the guy doing the story was British, and he said something about Bournemouth. And the guy turned around on his bar stool and went, "Up the Cherries!"
There you go.
World is small.
Join the fun. They've got all the cool gear. I just walked through the store downstairs before the show, and they've got it there.
This was a really weird thing this summer. My neighbor at the cottage in Manitoba, he's English. I've known that. I could hear it from... Anyways, we were talking. We're friendly. We were talking this summer, And he said something about, "Well, we're going back to Bournemouth." And I go, "Bournemouth, why are you going there?" "Well, that's where I'm from."
Of course.
So I had to call back, and I had Garrett Callaway FedEx me a Bournemouth jersey, and we presented it to him. He got all misty. He was
quite
pleased.
Wow, how about that?
Well, small world.
The insider coming through, as always.
No Garrett coming through.
Well, connecting the dots.
Yeah.
There were a couple of moments that stood out from the win against Utah the other day, and we kind of broke down the one where Dorofeev scores that goal. The Knights were trailing 2-0. A hurdle and Howden set up that play, and then Noah Hanifin from Watt and Kolasar later in the period. How about as Noah Hanifin is recovering the puck in his own zone and William Karlsson's line is on with Pearson and Holtz, Gary starts talking about, "Dan, these guys have been close. They're just slightly off, but, that can change. Keep an eye on them." As Hanifin sets it up to Karlsson, and Karlsson delivers a backhand goal to put Vegas up 3-2. So the insider is really locked in right now.
That was Nostradamus-like, for sure. what's the saying? The sun sets on every dog one day, that's not the expression, but you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, it sounded good on the radio at the time.
Yes.
Even Jeff Sharples liked it, apparently.
Yeah, Jeff was listening to us up from from Terrace, BC, which is northern British Columbia. Yeah. Home place of Wade Flaherty.
Okay. Going to tell us who Wade Flaherty is?
Wade Flaherty, longtime goalie in the NHL, the American League, International League. Good guy. Goalie coach for his now claim to fame as he's Connor Hellebuck's goalie coach in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay.
The 11-1 Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, the Knights do not play Winnipeg quite yet, but that'll be an interesting matchup when
we
do see the Winnipeg Jets. And Jeff Sharples, by the way, played for both Las Vegas and Utah in the IHL. First meeting for the Golden Knights and the Utah Hockey Club in the regular season, and Vegas winning 4-3, coming from behind, 2-0 deficit. Dorofeev and Hanifin to tie 2-2 in the second. Carlson for Vegas up 3-2. Kerfoot tied at 3-3. Brett Howden in overtime for the Heroics. Three-point game for Noah Hanifin. Three of the four goals had Hanifin involved. We mentioned Dorofeev and the production. Now, I'll throw in a few other players here, Gary, and you tell me if I'm missing somebody. But Dorofeev with those seven goals. Brett Howden up to six. Nicholas Waugh, another contribution last time out, plus Keegan Kolesar. Those guys are part of the organization for a while now. Juan Kolesar, 27. Howden's right behind at 26. Dorofeev's 24. I said it to Ryan Wallace on our postgame show. This has gone on for too long with too many players to be a fluke. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly right. One of the things that, you know, people see, oh, look at all those goals that are leaving. Well, there's also, so there's a vacuum in terms of that. There's, you know, there's a void that needs to be filled. There's also a leadership void. And all of a sudden, Kolesar, Howden, Waugh went from the young guys who, you know, be seen and not heard to now being, having a voice. Well, that has an effect on how you play as well. And they went to L.A. and were awful, the team. And they came back, and it probably wasn't so much a vocal, but those guys, you know, they're the, in many ways, the heartbeat of the team. They said to themselves, we got to be better. And all three of them went out and had a really good game, impactful game, played heavy on the puck, hit people, backtracked defensively, just worked really hard and led by example, and then good things happened to them through their play. So Craig Heisinger, the assistant general manager in Winnipeg, when I was in the American League covering the Manitoba Moose, he let a couple older guys go one off season. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And he said, you got to cut down the tall trees to let the little trees grow. They need the rain and they need the sun.
That's a great analogy.
It's fantastic.
That puts the whole point I was going to try to make into perfect clarity without me even trying. But that's just it. I mean, these are guys, and I mentioned the ages a moment ago, 27 and 27, Kolesar and Waugh, Howden 26 and Dorofeev of 24, whereby if you're Jack Eichel, who's also just, by the way, just turned 28, Noah Hanifin's 27, right? So I'm not saying that these guys are going to become, you know, superstars, but not everybody is on the same growth curve. And if you look over the course of just Golden Knights history, you've seen that too. But even if you look around the NHL and over a longer period of time, there are players who don't hit their potential. They might have been drafted high, but they didn't really hit their potential until a certain point in their career. And whether that's age, if it's games played pro, games played in the NHL, for whatever reason, some of those guys just click at some point and they unlock another part of their game. And I've heard Bruce Cassidy so often talk about adding layers. That was an element for Jack Eichel. You know, Jack, when he came here a few years ago, very much a star player, first round pick, Hobie Baker, that all that sort of stuff. You know, that sort of stuff for every player counts. Looking in the mirror and finding a way to build your game. And it just seems to me that for those players that we've just been talking about, that here is the opportunity, and it's not a fluke, it's not a fly-by-night situation, and it perhaps is time for us to just wrap our minds around they could be at this level, not just for a couple of weeks, but consistently.
So we love our misfits here in Vegas.
We do.
Well, that whole team was what we're just describing. Yeah,
that's right. Yep.
Like, how many goals did William Karlsson have the year before?
15.
No, the year before.
Oh, what do you mean the year before he scored
43? When he was in Columbus.
Yeah, 8.
Yeah. And he scored 43 the next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been the high watermark, but he scored 30 last year. Like, the opportunity to, if you're a good player, you make the NHL. A lot of what happens after that is based on opportunity.
Yeah. And I correct myself, it was six.
Yeah,
it went nine, and then six, and then 43.
Yeah, he had 15 total. In the NHL. Before he arrived.
With Columbus.
With Columbus.
Yep.
Yeah.
He had a few with the Ducks.
With the Ducks, but
yeah,
not a lot.
Earlier, yeah.
Anyways, so like, and you know, Braden McNabb blossomed here by being given a much bigger piece of the pie.
Right. And those guys were just further along. It just happened to have not been here.
Yeah.
These guys that we're talking about, it has all happened here rather than with another organization.
Yeah. That's why, you know, I mean, we're going to do the mailbag in a while, and someone said to me, has the team given up on Brandon Brisson?
Oh, gee whiz.
Why would they give up on him? He's 23 years old.
No.
And, you know, other people will say, well, Trevor Zegras made the NHL his first year. Yeah, on a terrible team.
Yeah, so did Jack Eichel. I mean,
yeah,
it just doesn't.
Jack was going to make it on any team no matter what.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, if the team is terrible and the organization is in a different point in its curve, different things happen. You know, Guy Lafleur went to the American Hockey League when the Montreal Canadiens drafted him. Larry Robinson, I think Larry Robinson spent a season and a half in Halifax with the Voyageurs.
Mm.
You know, won the Calder Cup.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just like there's only spots for 18 skaters, and when the team is as good as this one is, it's hard to get that job. I would hope Brandon Brisson would say, okay, I've got a taste in the NHL. I've got to go and figure out a way to dominate in the American League.
Just like you said earlier.
And force the issue. And someone's going to get hurt at some point in time. So you better make sure you're the guy that gets called up.
Yeah, yeah. And you said it just, I just want to reemphasize, not everyone is on the same exact schedule based on your talent.
Every player runs its own race.
Exactly. So whether it's your age, junior hockey, like we're talking about Will Smith with the San Jose Sharks, who's not playing every game, you know, for load management. I mean, he's 24 years old.
Yeah, where would Will Smith be if he was in the Golden Knights?
In the American League.
In the American League.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, so Brendan Brisson, yes, he's 23. You know, Pavel Dorofeyev, yes, is 24. That year can make a difference. And it's worth noting through all of this, Gary, that the Knights have these contributions from these players while still producing Mark Stone and Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev and Hurdle and Carlson and on we go. You know, it would be very different if the Golden Knights were relying on these players to be their top scorers. They're not. It's more with respect to, as you match up with teams, especially tough competition in playoff series when top lines might cancel each other out. If, let's say, McDavid's line cancels out Eichel's line, as an example, are you going to get consistent production from other places in the lineup? And with what we've just been talking about, the answer for what we've seen in this stretch of a dozen games to start the year, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I'll go back to Game 6 versus the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Final in 22-23. Who came out and punched their lights out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fourth line.
Right. And
ended the game in the first period.
Exactly right. And because the Knights roster was so jam-packed with all of a sudden healthy players and new players, Dorofeyev played one game in the series.
You know, I'm going back 2 years. But
Right.
Yeah, but last year. And again, I'll go back to the Trouba elbow. It really derailed his season. Like, he might already have 20 goals under his belt, which to me would have been like, you know, he might go, now he's going to go, what did he have, 13 last year or 14?
Pavel had 13.
13. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to look like a much larger, if he scores 30 this year, you know, it's going to look like he came out of nowhere. Well, it should have gone, I think he had 9 the year before, it should have gone to 13, and then it should go to 30, 40, or 50, or whatever he throws in this year.
Yeah.
I'm giving him 30 right off the bat.
Well, so I was going to wrap this segment with that question. For these guys, you know, Dorofeyev's got 7. Howden's got 6. Where do you see, I mean, you know, assuming that they're healthy and they're playing, where are the totals going to be for these guys?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Okay. I thought you might say that.
Well, as soon as I said 30 for Dorofeyev, I regretted saying that. So I'll put it this way. They're all going to have career years.
Yeah. I'll give you one more. Nobody has scored 80 points in a season for the Golden Knights. Nobody.
Yeah,
is that going to happen this year?
Yeah, Mark Stone's going to have 100 points.
He's got 20 points right now in 12 games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have 100 points.
Jack Eichel is right behind as well. And so there you have it. Okay, Knights with the most goals in the NHL and just a slot down in the goals per game. So we will talk about what's upcoming with the Edmonton Oilers and the Seattle Kraken, the upcoming opponents for the Golden Knights. We will also get to your questions. Gary issued a mailbag tweet slash X post. We will get to some of those questions coming up. And with that, we invite you to watch your Golden Knights this year with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or television to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. Once again, you're listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hi, everybody. It is 12:37 Pacific time. Welcome to Studio 31. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless for Nighttime at Noon. Glad you could join us. A dozen games into the season. November hockey is here. Vegas victorious in overtime on Saturday, 4-3 against Utah. Brett Howden, the overtime winner. Next up, Edmonton Oilers on the road Wednesday, the 6th. That's a 5:30 Pacific time start. 5:30 Pacific, Wednesday in Edmonton. And then Friday in Seattle. That's a 7 o'clock start Pacific time. So Wednesday in Edmonton, Friday in Seattle as the Knights will go on the road at a record of 8-3-1. Tops in the Pacific Division among the NHL's leaders in a number of categories, including standings points. Okay, Gary did figure out what he forgot during the break. But we're not going to do that right now. We're going to save that for the last segment of the show. So Gary is I did write it down so we won't forget again. We will get back to Gary's thoughts. But first, some thoughts from the mailbag, as Gary tweeted slash X posted earlier today. The mailbag has been sifted and sorted, and we've got some questions to throw at the lawman. So this is going to be fun. So these are questions that maybe I wouldn't have come up with to ask Gary, but you did. So with that, let's start with a question that I think not enough people really know the answer to, Gary, and that is from Kyle414. How did your career start in the press side of hockey and your career in general? And I know you from this. I don't mind know much about you. And instead of Google, we're asking here on Twitter. So, Gary, why don't you share with us a little bit about how you got your career started?
Well, I've told you this story. Gosher loves this story because my plan was to become a lawyer. And Gosher always guffaws when I say I was going to go to law school. But my brother became a lawyer, and I saw how hard he was working, and I thought, I don't want to do that. So I went to journalism school, and I worked for the Peterborough Examiner for 3 weeks, and then I got offered a job in Thunder Bay. I was there for part of 5 years, and then I went to Winnipeg and worked for the Winnipeg Free Press for I was in Manitoba for 18 years, 14 with the Free Press, and then 4 solely with TSN as their national columnist. And I did radio and television there, and then came to the Vegas Golden Knights. So Peterborough, Thunder Bay, Winnipeg, Vegas.
How about that?
What's next?
Yeah, well, lots more Golden Knights, I hope.
Yeah, me too.
This next one, Gary, from Zach Trout. Zach says, Carly is the real deal. How underrated is he by the average fan? Of course, talking about William Karlsson.
Well, I would say it to you this way. He's not underrated by teams. There isn't a team in the NHL that wouldn't want William Karlsson. He had 30 goals last year and 30 assists, and he checks up and down the ice all night long. William Karlsson's a unicorn. There are not very many two-way players that excel at that height on both sides. He scored 43. He scored 30. Big-time goals in playoff action.
Yeah, that's a good point. We talk about the season numbers, yeah, but the clutch postseason moments, that's a big part of it too.
So
he's never missed a playoff game. He's played in all 95 playoff games.
He's just a fantastic player. I think completely underrated. And I noticed today Chris Johnson, our good friend from The Athletic, has got William on Team Sweden for the Four Nations faceoff. Let's just touch on that real quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
Chris has, you know, obviously Jack Eichel is on Team USA. He's already been named to it. He doesn't have Noah Hanifin, and I wonder if Noah makes a late push. And then for Team Canada, he has four members of the Golden Knights playing for Team Canada. Mark Stone. Mark will be, he's a shoe-in now, almost, you know, near the top of the NHL in scoring. Shea Theodore, Alex Pietrangelo, and Aiden Hill. Chris has all four of those guys playing for Team Canada. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know that this year it's Four Nations. I am eager to see what it will look like next time around if they do expand beyond the four teams, as has been discussed.
Yeah.
And which other players, I mean, you know, Tomas Hertl, you know, the Team Czechia, and, you know, you just go to other...
Pavel Dorofeev for the Russians. Yeah, Barbashev for the Russians.
Exactly, yeah. That, you know, how that might...
Samsonov for the Russians.
Sure, yeah, how that would sort out...
We don't have any Finns.
Not currently, no.
No.
But you do have three Swedes now.
Yeah.
And Alexander Holtz, Victor Olofsson injured, of course, and of course, William Karlsson. Here is another one, Gary. And let's see, how about this from Adam? Adam writes, Gary, appreciate what you do in, day out for the Golden Knights and hockey in general. So far, what are your biggest positive surprises with the current Vegas Golden Knights roster?
Yeah, so I will say this, and you can go back and read the column. I wrote a column before the season started saying the players that left were good players, but there are lots of players in this organization that can fill the void. Think about it. Alec Martinez left. Ben Hutton still isn't in the lineup. Right? And when Hague has missed or Theodore has missed, Caden Korzak has gone in. And, like, Vegas has the eight, one through eight, Vegas has the best eight defensemen in the NHL. That gets you a long way. Center ice, Eichel, Karlsson, Hertl, Waugh. That gets you a long way. And a healthy Mark Stone, healthy Jack Eichel, all of a sudden those guys are producing. Dorofeev is not a surprise to me. It's clear by all the numbers that I've been able to and situations that I've been able to recount in our show so far, I have been expecting this from him. And at this level, he could score. He just needed to get consistent at it, and he's done. He got a little stronger, a little more experienced, a little more confident, and all of a sudden the puck's going in all the time for him, and that doesn't surprise me at all.
So those are some things that didn't just surprise you.
Yeah.
One of the things that maybe has been a little bit of a surprise is Tanner Pearson.
Yeah. Tanner Pearson, because he came in on a tryout, and you just didn't know he was a pro scout for another team, sent me a note and said Pearson wasn't pretty or stupid enough to be good in Montreal. He's been real good in Vegas. So that would be the one surprise, because wherever they put him, he has been effective.
Mm-hmm. Back to the mailbag.
I've got one that I want to answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Someone asked me, this is about the Golden Knights in a decade, when the decade is up and the Oakland A's are here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Will Vegas still be the number one team in Vegas?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. And it's funny because, like, the A's, you know, they're not even here yet, but the Raiders are here.
The question was from Klenka.
Yeah, whole question?
Do you think by the end of the decade, after the Athletics move to Vegas officially and the Knights will have been in the NHL for 12 years, hockey will still be the number one sport here? Thank you, Klenka.
So it's the NFL, and they're here and they're established. Now, listen, if the Raiders ever put a playoff team on the field and they go and win a Super Bowl, obviously that will be a huge moment in Vegas sporting history. And I'm here to tell you, everyone here at the Golden Knights hopes that happens, because that would just be fantastic for Vegas.
Yeah.
And we are firm believers in a rising tide lifts all boats. No one will ever be Vegas born the way the Golden Knights are. Yeah. It's just...
They started here.
Yeah. This is really unfortunate to say this, but what happened on October 1st and then the subsequent events and Derek Englund's speech at the home opener October 10th is something that it just these two entities,
yeah.
the city of Las Vegas and the Vegas Golden Knights, were going about their business separately, and they were entwined and yeah. enmeshed, however you want to say it, and they forever will be. They are one.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I'll throw this one more wrinkle in, and we got to visit Los Angeles the other day. The Kings are now underscoring the fact that they were the first team born in Los Angeles. You know, the Dodgers, of course, moved from Brooklyn, the Raiders from Oakland, et cetera. You know, so the Kings yeah. started in 1967. You know, they have obviously won a couple of cups, but their part of their marketing push this year is the first team born in Los Angeles. And I think the Golden Knights we're talking about having been born in Las Vegas right from the beginning.
The other factor, which still I shouldn't overlook, is the stewards of this organization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill Foley, George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon, Kerry Buchholz, Todd Pollock, Eric Tosi, those people are elite
yeah.
at what they do and care about Las Vegas, care deeply about the Golden Knights, care deeply about Las Vegas and the Golden Knights, and they just won't let it slip.
Yeah.
They're just too good at their jobs, care too much, and are too invested.
This question from Janet Gary. Janet says, this may seem like a silly question or two, but I always wondered if the players eat snacks in between periods, and what kind of candy is Bruce Cassidy eating during the game?
Well, so Bruce is I'm gonna answer half the question, and then I'm gonna riff.
Okay.
Because Bruce is chewing on Werther's cough candies.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that from inside sources.
Okay.
If you really want to know that the players are drinking Gatorade or some fancy protein gel or whatever, yeah, we could
gel.
We could find out about that. But who cares about that? What are Dan and Gary eating?
That's where I thought you were
in between periods.
That's true.
And it depends where we are.
That's right.
You know, well, actually, Dan is eating pastries. That's what he's doing.
Well, I always have a pastry on hand. That's
yes.
the EP, the emergency,
pastry.
It doesn't always yes. get consumed.
No,
it doesn't. Just
always.
In case.
No, no, no.
You've got a very exciting game that goes to overtime. You need a sugar.
Are you answering this question or am I?
It's true. It's Gary's mailbag.
If we're in Chicago, mm-hmm. they changed the offerings. Like, they have something for the first intermission,
yeah.
and then they have something for the second intermission.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I do make sure I get a little taste of both.
Okay.
In Vegas, we have, it's very good. You know, it's, you know, there's peanuts, there's potato chips, there's M&M's. I almost said Smarties. There's no Smarties in the United States.
Yeah.
M&M's, coffee. Well, they have a really nice water now.
Yeah.
Cinnamon, the woman who takes
she's
care of us
terrific.
Upstairs.
Yep. She always comes
she's
in and says
good.
Hello. Yep.
She fills this water jug with ice, and then she slices up lemons, oranges,
yeah,
limes.
Yeah, it's different from different games.
Yeah. The other night it was lemon and lime, and you took a sip of it, and your mouth puckered. Like, it was, they needed a scoop or two of sugar, and you would have had lemon limeade.
Oh, now we're talking.
Sprite without the carbonation.
Gary, we've got to get to a break. Any other mailbag questions?
Well, the one lady at said to me that, she said something about cats. One of the players
cats?
Mentioned
oh, I missed that
he
one.
Has cats.
Okay.
Who is it and what are their names? Listen to the Darren Millard show. He'll tell you about cats.
Okay.
Not getting any cats on this show.
All right.
No, I should say, we had a great cat, Fred the cat.
Fred the cat. We miss Fred.
We miss Fred big
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy.
Okay. We will step aside, and we'll get back to the thing that Gary forgot earlier in the show. He remembered. I wrote it down, so we can't forget again. We'll get back to that when we come back. First, let us tell you about the VGK mobile app. Don't you wish you could keep up with the Golden Knights right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can. With the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights, you can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. Back in a moment on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:53 Pacific Time. Dan and Gary with you from Studio 31. Catch the next VGK Watch Party on Wednesday, November the 6th, when the Knights take on the Edmonton Oilers. Prizes, the cast, and a DJ. Lots happening at Sunset Station that night, November the 6th, for the Golden Knights and the Oilers. That is a 5:30 start Pacific time. 5:30 Pacific time, Wednesday, Vegas visiting Edmonton. And for the moment, the Oilers without Connor McDavid. They have won their last two games without Connor McDavid. And the latest word from Coach Knobloch is probably two-ish weeks, but that would still keep him out of the lineup for the game on Wednesday. Oilers are playing the Devils today, so you can watch the Oilers and the Devils in action.
Yeah, and that game is on Amazon Prime up in Canada, and none other than our Shane Knighty will be providing the color commentary on that game, and that's a hell of a game.
Yeah.
The Devils can play. The Oilers are had a big win the other night. Leon Draisaitl really sort of stepped forward. Zach Hyman got off the schneid. So I expect a great game. I texted Shane this morning and said, I'll be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not in Canada.
It's on our, if you have Center Ice, it shows up on the Center Ice package.
Right.
On the Prime feed.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched two of the Prime. For our listeners, Amazon Prime bought a bunch of games from Rogers, who is the national broadcaster in Canada. And every Monday, there is a game on Amazon Prime showing up in Canada, and they've put together a broadcasting crew. John Forslund is doing a lot of the play-by-play, and then Shane is one of the excellent color commentators that they've got to do those games. So it's a little bit of, I think, a test for Amazon.
Sure.
And we'll see if they're, I think there's four years left this year and three more on the U.S. deals. We'll see if they, I think I have those numbers wrong.
Okay. Well, we'll close to that another time. By the way, the other game today, just two games. It's Los Angeles and Nashville in Nashville. The Kings, by the way, are 2 points behind the Knights.
So my other thought was the Golden Knights can score. The things that kind of worry you, road record, penalty kill, and goals against, Bruce Cassidy can fix those things. It's the fact that this team can score, that's checkmark number one. He'll get the other checkmarks.
There you have it. We will have the head coach of the Golden Knights, Bruce Cassidy, on an episode of SLGND. We're recording it today, so you'll want to keep an eye out on your podcast feed for that. And of course, later on today, you'll have the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas with Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace, and company. That starts at 4 o'clock. Big thanks to everybody having a hand in today's broadcast. Ruben, Ron Paul, Justin, Amber, all of us at the Golden Knights. The Golden Knights Insider, Gary Lawless. Dan Duva saying so long from Summerlin.